This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade,
Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her. Hi. How y'all doing? Oh my god. Guess what? You're watching and or listening to the only drag race pod recap Instagram thingy that's ever existed in the history of the internet. I want to say hi to everyone who's watching. Oh my god, Scarlett! Hey, you bitch! Effie, Beck, Squidgy, Phil, oh, you, all of you amazing people. Hello, Diaper Butt. Yep, that's a name. Nancy, Aiden's. Hi, what's up? Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We're about to have an amazing guest today. We're so excited to talk about the newest episode of UK. Feel free to comment. Tell us what's happening. We want to know what your opinions are. You can support me in the meantime by giving me money at Venmo and PayPal. It's just my name, Mono Agapian. We'll talk about how to spell that. I have a lot to talk about, so we need to go ahead and have our guest come. Thank you for listening. Very excited about Monday's ep. And you know, this episode will hit the pod feed next week. But for now, we have the Vixen.
Hey.
Hey, gorgeous. Look at your hair. It's cool. I love it. You go on a lot of color journeys with your hair, don't you?
I did. I was trying to, you know, figure it out. For the longest time, I didn't do anything. And I realized, I was like, I have not had a real job in like 6 years. Why don't I start dyeing my hair? And so I did. And blue is the one that really, I think, suits me.
It's good. It's really lovely. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Soaking up the, it's a bright day in Chicago. It's not exactly a warm day, but it's a bright day.
Okay. Yeah. That can be a victory in and of itself. So yeah. Oh my God, Vixen, you're so lovely. Vixen.
Thank you.
Do you accept it when people call you just Vixen?
Yeah. It's weird to like have to say the every time. So like it's Vixen to my face. It's the Vixen behind my back.
She's that girl. Oh my god, I am so excited for Nubia to return. I was one of those suckers who had a ticket, you know, I mean, obviously, and hey, Nubia refunded us, but that's like good. We had that whole thing where we were like, maybe it'll happen. Like, no girl.
Yeah.
Is there a later this year date? Is it 2022? Do we know when it's coming back?
Oh, I don't know. I just did the Brooklyn Nubia for the launch, but I'm not a part of the like production that's going to like carry it on. I'll be like doing Black Girl Magic stuff when we're able to. And so like, yeah.
That's amazing. That's incredible. You are such a fan favorite. You are, you're ahead of the con. You've always been ahead of the con.
Wait, what show is this?
Hi, JT. Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's yeah. I had a lovely time on Dancing with the Stars.
You are so ahead of the conversation that now, how does it feel like to be trying to have this conversation about POC representation years ago, being gaslit, and now people are like, did you know Black Lives Matter? How does it feel?
It's really weird because, I mean, you know, I think everybody's or anyone's normal reaction would, you know, be like, oh, like, you know, I told you so, or like, what took so long? But mm-hmm. the truth is, you know, we need people to get woke, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. We need it, you know, and the longer it takes, the more pertinent it is and the more urgent it is. And so I'm just glad that people are finally getting on board.
That's very, very wonderful of you just to be like, let's have, I mean, that kind of grace is really important. I'm happy we're having the conversation. Let's get the conversation going. Don't drop it just because it's almost the end of February. Like,
yeah. And it's like, you know, you would just waste time being petty if you were like, oh, well, I said this back then or whatever. Look, the Vixen Was Right t-shirts are on my website. You can go buy
Thank
it if you feel bad. You know what I mean? Like,
and wait, remind us right now where else we can support you, because I want to say it multiple times in this app. Where can we support you?
So you can go shop.thevixensworld.com to like look at all my merch. I think the Go Have Your Cigarette Bitch t-shirts just sold out. So, but you can get the rest of
the
stuff.
Restock.
Restock. Or you can Venmo and Cash App. Or you can Venmo at The Vixens World. You can Cash App VXN Cash. You can, you know, OnlyFans/ Untuck Tony. And so,
love it.
Yeah, lots of places to support the Vixen.
I love your OnlyFans.
So
much.
Thank you.
It is stunning. You are so stunning in every gender expression. So I think it's really cool.
I'm blessed
that you're doing that.
Thank you.
I love, speaking of like, you know, you're talking about like your hair and like, oh, my hair. We're at a really cool time in history where it's like people are allowing people to employ themselves no matter in any way. And I think it's like really cool that people, if any of that still exists, that has to like get shut down, because people should be allowed to support themselves in every way without it being like, oh, you lost a job because of X. Like,
yeah, I love that there's like so many different ways to be your own boss these days and to, you know, like just like a free market economy where you can like, yeah, just make your own rules, set your own hours. I think that's another reason that we're seeing so many like many revolutions happening, is because people don't have to like answer to the man as much in so many things. And I think it's really great. And hopefully that'll be like great for our futures as a whole.
I think so. Like our gay kids are going to be like, what? Like people are going to be so big. Like, people told you how to make money and could fire you because you posted a picture. Like, yeah, it was stupid.
It was real great. Or like, you know, people not being able to have tattoos or to dye their hair and stuff like that.
So dumb. So embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, Vixen, you know, in a nutshell, how do you look back on your Drag Race experience? Was it a joy? Was it complicated?
Very complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because for better or for worse, you know, I'm able to, you know, talk to a shit ton of people and get my point of view out there and really make a difference in the world. You know, not everybody might agree with what I'm saying, but they hear me. And that is the first step. And a lot of times when you like make somebody mad about something or you say something that people don't like, it sticks with them. And you're like, you know, they're like, I can't believe she said that. And they go to sleep at night. I can't believe she said that. And they wake up in the morning. I can't believe she said that. And then like, you know, 3 years later, there's the Black Lives Matter boom. And they're like, oh, that's why she said that. And so like, it's good that people heard me, even if they weren't happy to. So I'm grateful for that part. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, that is a blessing just to have a little bit more of a stage. Okay. And the funniest questions I ask every queen, will she go back? Will she go back when they're like, okay, we need to, especially apparently in the US we're still having the conversation of Black Lives Matter, which is like duh, but will you go back to the show, or have you done what you've done?
Yeah, I think I'm done with the show. I'm more than happy to, you know, like work with World of Wonder on like other projects, or like you know, we did like a Black Lives Matter PSA and all those things.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a need for me to compete again. I think that would not be cute.
You did it. She did what she did.
Yeah.
And now the Vixen High Tops are, that's the only thing we're waiting on.
Oh my God. No, I would
go get your cigarette, bitch, High Tops. Go smoke your cigarette.
I think that's like a good flip flop. That's like a shower shoe.
You need okay, great. I'll get the slider.
Right. Yeah.
How are you enjoying UK? How are you enjoying the season of UK?
I'm really, really loving it. It's always good to like watch the new countries like launch, because you get more like genuine, like raw queens who aren't so concerned with their edits or so aware of the camera, and like just you get to watch the contestants just like live in the thrill of the moment instead of like showing up as a brand. You know, the US girls, we know exactly the route that we're taking and like what we're getting ourselves into.
Totally.
Which changes the experience a lot.
I like it. They're meaner. I like it. Yeah, I just think you should drown in the river. Sorry.
Oh yeah, that in the reading challenge when she said like up the
River Thames.
Right, yeah. I was like, did she just tell her to
come? She told her to fucking drown.
Yeah, some of the reads this episode were pretty cutthroat, which you don't really get anymore.
They really were. I know there was a government. I mean, my favorite was probably the COVID test one, where Lawrence was like, "You're so dumb."
So dumb. She studied for the COVID test. Yeah, that was
a classic. Yeah, it's a classic one. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. There was a government chip joke against Bimini. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what I will say about the reading challenge, which I think is done. When someone's like, oh, I could never read the girls. Okay, let's go. Like, that's just been done, and we have to drop it.
And Elliot didn't really, like, deliver it. Like,
I agree.
Like, the transition was a little wonky when she tried to do it.
It was like when you're overthinking the line in your head, and then you're like, hush, hum, to it.
Yeah. And you have to be, you have to really be a queen that no one's thinks is going to be shady too. And I think all of the UK girls, like, we know they have the potential for shade, so it's not really
totally
convincing. yeah
I think Alaska did it, and it's like a lot. That's funny because Alaska's like you know, not to the face insane.
yeah.
Lawrence also had, I'm sorry, I think Ellie had a read that was like both a read for her girlfriend and Lady Bunny. Don't come for Lady Bunny.
Lady Bunny will cut you. She will show up at your doorstep. So you be careful.
You don't want to fuck with her because she has about 800 insults ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got the Rolodex of hate for sure.
And one of them was like, you know, the whole Taste of Horror thing. They were like, you ate my ass, or I sat on your face and you ate my hole. And I was like, that's not really a read, but work.
Yeah, I would have been like, if I was Taste, I would have been like, and you're welcome. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Were there any flirtations on season 10 that we didn't see on camera? No?
Well, you can ask any of the girls. The rumor is that I'm the thirstiest queen in season 10. But I think I'm more of a person who, like, if I think you're looking good that day, I'll tell you. And so the first time the camera got naked, I was like, are we not supposed to notice this giant bulge over here? It wasn't exactly flirting. It was just like, you're naked. So you're just going to get naked on day one. But
I agree that it's like, are we going to pretend that there isn't a piece of fuck in the room with us?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, it's not exactly a compliment. It's more of an observation.
Right. It feels crazy to be like, I don't see it. We're just hanging out. I'll see it. Okay, sister won the reading challenge. Okay.
Well, now she has that, and she can always have that to say that she won it.
She'll always have that. I do love that these girls are always like, there's this ongoing narrative that sister copies everyone. Like that's...
Yeah, and just based off of one time, which I mean, it was an egregious copy though. It was pretty bad.
It was egregious. It was a big one. It was a big moment. And you know what? I'm going to be a bitch inspired by my UK sisters and say immediately, why is Estina gone? Honestly, why? And I'll go even shadier and say, why did we have so much sister and only a dollop of Estina? That's just my opinion.
Okay, so this, okay, we're just talking about like being thirsty.
Tea.
So like, okay, how can I say this without being a bitch?
Vixen, you could never.
I swear. So like outside of Estina and Tace, I would say, there aren't really a lot of attractive people in the workroom.
A lot of unique persons.
A lot of interesting faces. But so I was really sad to see Estina go because like that was a piece of eye candy for the workroom.
Oh my god, the Mortal Kombat look. I mean, with 8 D's, this body.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real bummer for me, and I thought she did have just so much raw talent. It's fucked. But you know, she'll be on the international all-star season.
Nice.
I would hope.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
So this week's challenge, we have Corona Super Sheroes. Okay, we first opinion. How do you feel about like referencing COVID and Corona like immediately in dragdom? Is it a good thing? Is it a weird thing?
I think it's I thought it was weird because I'm sure they had a different plan for runways, and it was like So in the 7 months, did you just give up on the idea that you had before? like that clearly wasn't what they were planning to have a runway be or whatever. So mm-hmm. I wonder what happened logistically where they had to like come up with a different idea for a runway episode.
Totally.
I don't mind that as much as I mind. In the US, we just had the episode yesterday for the US was just a special about how the show dealt with. And like
we so bored.
And we have so many queens who have not been eliminated yet. It was like, we do not have time to interrupt this program. Yeah.
It's like the UK season, I think, is going to end. It's going to start and end inside the US season. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah. I also was not here for the documentary episode. Like, it's cute. It's really cute. But
I think it would have been cuter after the finale or something. You know what I mean?
You.
Now, like when we're still in the pandemic, most cities are still in lockdown. So it's like, what exactly? Like, this is too real. It's too soon. It's not enjoyable to watch because I'm still living it.
So right. It's like a documentary about what's happening in your house today.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I watched the news this morning. I got it. I know.
I know. Yeah. Drag is our escape. Like, let us escape.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm all for, bringing the issues to the forefront, but this is more of a downer than racism.
I also felt the conflation was a little bit much, where it was just like, I don't know.
And the dramatization, and where were you when you found out? And it's like, yeah, we all have these, literally everyone on the planet experienced this, so it's not very, mm-hmm. it's not news to anyone.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't love it. It felt a little Emmy driven to me.
That's the tea.
That's the goal. And for them, any Emmy is a goal.
Yeah. And how far we've come from RuPaul saying that she'd rather have an enema than an Emmy. I think she needs to have an enema nowadays. She's backed up with Emmys.
It is funny. It's like the whole show started as a parody of America's Next Top Model. And it is, it's past that now. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and I mean, I don't know. Okay. Like I get that Emmys are it's a trophy. It's an award. But what does it benefit the queens? What does it benefit the community to have an Emmy? Is it just that, the show gets mentioned on a big platform like the Emmys and that brings more viewers to the next season? Money. But I mean, hey, when season 10 won an Emmy, they used a video clip of me to announce it and I didn't get a damn dime. So
of course not.
So what does the artist benefit versus the 40 white men that go on stage and accept the Emmy?
I don't know. That is a big problem. And you're right. It really is. They're just juicing. We're getting juiced. The queer community and especially the POC, by POC community is just getting juiced because every time they get Emmys, they get more money. And then the show gets a bigger budget and then the people involved get more money. It's a pyramid scheme.
but do the people whose, personal stories get siphoned and, you got Tamisha on at the worst possible time in her life to be on and, mm-hmm. got all of us reliving our trauma for the world stage. And what do we get out of that at the end of the day? You done got me to preaching.
I know. I'm sorry. It's Saturday and we're at church. I'm so sorry. So how do you feel about the unconventional challenge? I've seen you make some incredible stuff on your time in season 10, the glitter cage dress. And you made that there.
No. Oh, God.
You made it, right?
Yeah, I made it.
That's incredible.
Completely from scratch. I love an unconventional challenge. It's more fun for me to make something out of nothing than to sit there and cut a pattern and sew something that's going to look mm-hmm. like everything else. I love when people have no idea what they're looking at or how I did mm-hmm. something. I love Bimini's bacteria thing. I love things that just look organic and completely unstructural and very off kilter. So I was so here for very excited for an unconventional challenge.
Yeah, it's so fun. I love the shit. So I mean, of course, Sister gets too much shit. It's the curse of Jada Sophia. She got to get stuff first.
Yeah.
And now she has too much.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing a strategist, which, you know, hindsight is 20/20, we can say all day what she should have done, is that the idea is you get all the good shit and you just don't let anybody else have it. You don't right. have to use everything. Just keep it for yourself.
Or she alluded like, to it.
Yeah. Or like even, I would have like, you know, like maybe you want to like make some allies later. And so you like, maybe you give Taste like the scrubs that you got, or, you know, like you mm-hmm. like, you pick your favorites. I think she was smart to not give Ahura anything, but like maybe, you know, play mess with her mind a little more. Give everybody else something except Ahura. So, you know, like some,
fuck with her. Why the fuck not? Especially after Ahura came over and was like buttering her up, but then didn't even have a good compliment.
Yeah.
She
literally
didn't.
That was like, really fucked up.
You're like, so you can't Cruella.
Even, yeah. You really think so little of me that you can't even fake a compliment.
Yeah. She was just like, it was so crazy. I also was jealous of how, like, there's a lot of shots. I mean, there's this weird spy shot footage of Ahura, but there's also shots of her very, which is, I love how queer she lounges on top of a table. That is queer culture.
Yeah.
But she's chilling, and then she delivers the most stunning thing.
Right, yeah.
I've ever, like, one of the most stunning things I've ever seen.
Yeah, when those shoulders popped, I was like, oh shit, it's done.
It was Jurassic Park, you know? Yeah, it was that
it was
whole.
Really, really good.
It was so and good. Like,
and that's one of the things that I love about the challenges where you get to make something there, because there's no way she could have packed that, right? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, she wouldn't have been able to put that in a suitcase. It wouldn't have traveled well, all that stuff. So I thought it was really good that she was able to make something there that was like bigger than life. And that's, she really took advantage of the situation and like went off.
Totally.
And then, yeah, you know, it's just editing. Like they only showed her chilling, but I'm sure she like worked out.
Totally.
Yeah.
100. Just the editing. What the hell was Bimini thinking with that first look? What the fuck was that?
The
like purple tits. Leaves coming out thing.
So I was like, I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. So the whole time I was thinking like, okay, like maybe not like the tissue and whatever balloon she had in tits. No, but I was like, maybe she'll put a breastplate on and that'll like right. give the illusion. I was really trying to see it. I think honestly, I might've liked the outfit that she was working on with the purple sleeping bag or the pillowcase. That probably would have been a better outfit than what she came up with at the end.
Interesting. Cause you think it was just unique as opposed to like, oh, a dress.
Well, I think, you know, it was like a little V-shaped. It looked a little bit more superhero than what she ended up with. Mm-hmm. And I think the judges really just like gave her too much of a pass, but like calling it like a Vivian Westwood inspired. Girl had plungers on her butt, and for what? You know,
like 100%. And she had the ring girl wig in blonde.
Right, yeah. And it's so annoying. It's like, you know, a young white girl can like come out looking like crap and you will instantly find a fashion reference to link it to. You know what I mean? But like, if a black girl was to do the same thing, you would be like, it's a pile of garbage.
You're so right. You're so right. The sort of subconscious bias that comes along with that. There's like, well, yeah, you look like a model. And Pamela, oh, I see that. We have all agreed Pamela's white beauty is stunning.
Yeah, and so, right, yeah. We've all agreed that white girls can walk down the runway looking like garbage and it'll still be fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're so right. I mean, I was talking about this with Vinegar Strokes and, I mean, every PLC queen. It's just, it's so weird how the way we limit queens of color, they're like, okay, you're a queen of color, so you're an entertainer, so you can dance.
So you're a pageant queen, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But then it's like, well, if you are white, you get to be like, oh, I'm a comedy queen, I'm a crafty queen, I'm specifically this queen.
I'm conceptual, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really unfair. It's really fucked up.
Yeah, I can't imagine a black crystal method going very far.
I know, right? I mean,
I will say, you know, Evie's about the closest that we had to that.
Evie's the closest that we had. And she gets shit, though. She gets a lot of shit. Like, in popular queens have been like, I don't think you are good, your makeup is good enough, which is like,
yeah.
I don't.
Right, yeah.
I don't feel comfortable.
I don't feel comfortable with it.
And it's like, yeah, like come for any other queen. Why aren't we coming for Jinx then? Like, okay, yeah, come for her makeup.
I mean, there's this, I mean, Willem, you know, the greenest beard of all, you know, like there's just, and no shame, but like, but like, there's just so many, yeah, I think we accept Black excellence as a trope and we accept white trash as a trope. And it's like, it should be able to work in both ways.
100%. Yeah. It's so exhausting. It's like, even you know, like you have to be, it's like, as a queen of color, you also have to be an advocate at all times. And that's so much pressure. And it's so exhausting to be like, I can't just exist. I have to be like a freedom fighter the whole way.
The whole way. It's like, you're either too woke or you're not woke enough. Even with like OnlyFans, like somebody, like a few people have like tried to attack me recently for not having filmed with a Black guy. And I was like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I'm filming with who's available. You know what I mean? Like, I'm filming with who is in good health, has, you know, like taking care of themselves and like getting tested and like willing to film with me. You know, also there's the burden of like filming with somebody who also wants to fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I think people are getting a kick out of like just nitpicking like my wokeness in my sex life, which is like, honey, listen, I grew up on the South Side of Chicago. I came out when I was 14. You have no idea how many Black dicks I have touched.
Oh, I'm jealous. Will you write that book?
It's a picture book. It's a picture book.
Girl, even better. Wait, okay, ballpark. How many closeted gentlemen would you say, like, okay, percentage, so that you don't have to out any numbers. Percentage of closeted versus not.
Not closeted. Not a lot of closeted. I mean, like, maybe when I was, like, young and we were all closeted. But, you know, like, I went to college in Chicago and everything. So, a lot of proud out gay Black men as well.
Good. I love to hear that. Yeah. I love to hear that. Okay, so our material, steel wool, cursed material.
I could make it work. I feel the calling to make a steel wool look.
Please.
So, even if you take, like, what Taze had, I think she could have taken like one steel wool one and just stretched it out long and like did that like a couple times and made like a suitable leotard underneath that would have like looked, it definitely still would have cut up her crotch. One of the great things about working on Drag Race is that they have so much spray paint. I don't know about in the UK, but like in our workroom, there's so much spray paint that you can have. And the Rue pretty much like told her, like, you're going to put like some kind of leotard or something under there. And so like, I think she definitely could have. And another thing is like, I think she would have done better to like not have the like shoulder things. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And, like,
too much shrugging.
Yeah. Like maybe just do like a big like detox jellyfish kind of situation where even if you just came out as a bag of scrunchies, that might have looked better than like what was going on. But I mean,
yeah,
neck
me
up,
the bottom.
Fucking gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh, the face. I liked it. And I thought the bottom was just so crazy. I was just like, oh my God, look at that. You have a bug on your pussy. It looks like there's a bug on your snatch.
Yeah. But I think the answer to that, especially like for somebody as small as Taste, would have been to like make half of the garment, you know, like very like fit to the body, and then like maybe make the hips puffy and scrunchy, and then make the boobs puffy and scrunchy. But like the silhouette like could have been a lot better.
Yeah. Can you believe we got a whole siren scare off of this? Like, I don't know if you saw, but like last week they were like, and next week, and we get the whole like 911 woo scare, and it's like,
I saw, and it was just a little boo boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tells you how strapped they were for drama, because season 10, I think Blair, my poor baby Blair, she probably like was in the meds and she was allergic to nail glue. So she was like always like with like the medic, right?
And she knew she was allergic?
Yes, but it's like, what are you going to do, right? God. But she was, you know, dedicated to getting through it. And so she did. But that didn't become news because I was too busy cursing people out. They don't need to film somebody like getting a Band-Aid when Vixen is snatching wigs.
Right. Thank God. Yeah. And thank God for that. Because you gave us a season of Drag Race.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay, there's some touching moments about being a queer youth. You talked about coming out at 14. How in touch were you with your queerness, like, before 14?
Oh, God.
Were you just like, oh, I'm gay, fuck. Or were you just like, oh, I'm gay?
It was very much, oh, this is gonna suck. Because, like, I mean, you know, in the 90s, you know, you've seen enough, like, at home, like, after school special dramas that you see it play out, and you're like, I'm signing up for that. Damn it.
Same.
So it's kind of like, okay, this is going to be a burden until I'm like 18. And
totally.
I was lucky enough, you know, in the age of MySpace, before I actually had a like physical boyfriend, I probably had like 12 like online boyfriends and stuff. Uh-huh. Like that. And so I was like getting my life that way, which, you know, gave me a lot of practice for the world that we live in now.
Right.
So I was a little more comfortable once it came time to, like, I went to a high school that had out gay guys. And so that mm-hmm. like made it easier to date. But I was already like familiar with like having conversations and like emotional complexity with boys. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. And then it was just a matter of getting my mom on board.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. I hear you. I had the same moment of like, okay, cool. So I have like another thing on my plate forever. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah. But now I'm just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. So looking back, like being gay, like especially being gay and like growing up in like a poor neighborhood and stuff like that, I feel like it kept me out of so much trouble because I didn't want to go play with the boys. So I never joined a gang. I didn't mm-hmm. get arrested or anything like that because I was in house, you know, playing my mom's wigs.
Yeah. And I mean, and Lauren's kind of touches on this of like the whole queer sense of humor. You know what I mean? The sense mm-hmm. of humor we develop because like, we're always defending ourselves or working, yeah. coloring outside the lines, et cetera. Like, when were you always funny or did you develop your sense of humor, like, at, you know, like dealing with bullshit from like bullies and stuff?
You know, I think the funniest people are people who have survived like some kind of trauma, right?
Facts.
So I think in like after like high school, I would like, you know, like get a joke in here or there. I'm always like a, you know, it's funny because it's true. So I'm always the person who like tells the truth. So like things would just be accidentally funny. And then, mm-hmm. You know, as I got older, you know, you're like the traumas that would make you funny. And so then it was like, it really wasn't after Drag Race. Then I became hilarious.
Because of all that trauma, yeah, all that.
Yeah, so now I really take pride in being really, really funny. But I think it's just, you know, being able to roll with the punches and laugh at yourself and not take yourself too seriously, which, yeah, that's a gay superpower.
It is the best. It is like, once again, like when you're going through it, hell. And yeah. then when you're on the other side, you're just like, I can laugh at anything. Like, I did something. I think I wreck my car or something, like when some shit happens, I'm just like, okay.
Right. All right.
Okay. we'll figure this shit out.
Yeah.
Okay. And please.
Oh, I think, you know, just like being a person who's like come from so much, I have, you know, just learned to like face adversity with the knowledge that I can, like, I've survived so much that I know that I can survive so much. So when, like, shit happens, like, even with the pandemic, I'm like, ooh, like, this season is fierce. Me and my friends, we always talk about, like, life as if it's, like, a reality show. And we're like, ooh, this season is getting really good. Like, yeah. Or now we refer to, like, the universe or the gods or whatever as, like, the producers. And we're like, ooh, the producers are really trying it.
They're just like, and just when you were like, hold up. You're like, oh, can you believe what happened right. on this episode?
Yeah.
Right. That Ted Cruz on this episode went to Cancun, said he didn't mean to go to Cancun,
uh-huh.
and then got on a stage that's shaped like a Nazi symbol.
Right. And then had the nerve to show up to the reunion and try to come for AOC, who is way more for his own house than, yeah, very that. Very that.
Ooh, she knows. She knows she's on TV.
Yeah.
I agree. Fucking crazy. We're very adaptable. It's a real pro con.
Yeah.
So we get to the main stage, and we do a thing on this one where we chirp and burp the looks. We've already kind of talked about them, but we can give them an official chirp or burp, and we're the only Drag Race podcast that judges looks. So this is really exciting for you, Vixen. Okay. So yeah, if you love it, chirp it. If you're like, nah, not loving it, burp it. Okay. And even maybe tell me like what you thought would like hook it up. Like on this first one, Tace was exfoliantable, and you already gave us some tea. But what do you, overall, is this a chirp or a burp? You know, the string pussy. Like,
I still feel like it's an overall chirp. I think, you know, like, Tace is my number one pick for the crown. Like, I'm rooting for her.
Love.
But, I mean, she has had some questionable, like, just tiny details and, like, polish, but I think it's still a chirp.
It's still a chirp for me. I just thought the top, yeah. Like, literally the whole top half of her body was perfect for me. And then I was like, pussy, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Lawrence of Achenia. Giving us this blue-orange bathing suit. There's a bustle. Her makeup's improved. The wig is moist. What do you think?
top chirp of the week for me. I was so I love construction. Like I said, I love unconventional materials. Uh-huh. And even, like, seeing in the workroom, like, what she was doing, I didn't think that it was going to come out as polished as it did. Like, I was so impressed with the proportions. Like it just fit like real fabric. It looked so good. Like the tailoring like was amazing.
I agree. Really, how dare they put her in the bottom three?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was
she's in the bottom three?
Well, I mean,
so crazy.
That's crazy.
Didn't accept it as fact. Yeah, that's
yeah.
That's crazy.
It should have been Bimini where she was because they called Bimini safe before her, and I was like, no,
no, yeah,
no.
And that's what I talk about again. You know, you have a thin white girl, and they can say it's fashion no matter what it is. Mm-hmm, yeah, it's like no, mm-hmm. Yeah,
girl, it's a chirp. Yeah. We love her. I mean, they're just giving her a story because she's gonna be at the end. I would still gag if she won, but like, she's gonna be at the end.
I think, like. My favorite to win is Tace, but I think from what it looks like the producer's favorite to win is Lawrence. Sure.
I think you're right. I will be happy if Tace, Lawrence, or Ahura wins. I believe any of those would make me pretty. I mean, I like Bimini, but like,
I would
she's
be
just not my top
if
pick.
Ahura won. I think Ahura is really good, but I'd be surprised if she won. I don't think she's getting a winner's edit. Mm-hmm. I really like Bimini. I feel like she's getting a kind of like Alaska's first season edit where like she's going to be like good TV, but they're going to bring her back for an all-star or something like that.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
And
we like her, but.
I think, you know, like I was just saying that Tace, you know, has like really great fashion, but there's like some like attention to detail that's missing. I think the same goes for Bimini, especially when it comes to like making things, because Bimini doesn't really make a lot of things.
Right.
So I think, I think they're kind of neck and neck in that respect. And I think, neck and neck in that respect. But that's going to be in a song later somewhere. Ooh, neck and neck in that respect.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's a good sequel to My Neck, My Back.
And so,
My neck. Yeah. My
I think
neck.
On paper, I think on paper, Lawrence really is probably like, a more deserving winner when it comes to polish.
I think you're right. I also think her story is kind of concluding.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've learned so much about her. She had such a beautiful breakthrough. And just like talking about her experience of like, you know, the way people judge her. It was so beautiful. And I'm like, I love her. I think her story might be coming full circle.
Yeah, which can be dangerous because sometimes if they're getting all of your like info too early on, then
true.
That means you're going home. Yeah, you gotta hold out. You gotta keep one in the box.
true. So okay, we already talked about Ahura. She's COVID-19. Jurassic Park, but make it puss. Alejandro, Lady Gaga, a little bit glitter mouth mask. What'd you think?
Definitely a chirp. It was amazing. It was gorgeous. I think I still prefer Lawrence's look a little bit more just because I love what Ahura did, but I know exactly how it was made. I could do it if I had to. Lawrence's, I have questions. I'm a little baffled at how good it is. You know what I mean?
Work. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. I did think this really gagged me. So like whatever parlor trick she pulled, it worked.
It worked.
I was like, I love this. I was like, if she doesn't win, what are we doing? Trip, work. Bimini, we already said this, but I guess we'll say it. Yeah, this is a burp. Overall, it's a burp. I like the idea.
What is the idea?
Dress is the idea.
The other thing for me is that it wasn't, because there wasn't just a design challenge. There was also a superhero concept to it. And I didn't see superhero when I looked at it either. So it was like a little meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Like, yeah, there was little like wristlet things, but it was not a superhero. It does not a superhero make.
Yeah.
Okay, Ellie. As exuberant Ellie giving us Candyland, Katy Perry orgasm with a splash of Jade Jolie, if you will.
Yeah.
what do you think?
It's definitely a chirp. I think, and this is the thing, like now with Drag Race being like so far along and like so many seasons and we've seen the game play out so much, it's like you have to, it's like at the end of the day, Drag Race is it's a runway competition, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, no matter what you're doing, especially when you have girls like Taste or like Simone or like Gottmik and stuff like that, you have got to come to the runway with fashion. You know what I mean? Like, so even when it's a good look, you got to make it fierce. It's like how Roos always says, like, but how you're going to make it funny? It's like, you got to make it sickening. And it's like, I thought, like, obviously, like, she had like the skills to make something that looked great. And then it's like, as a competitor, you just also have to make it sickening. Cause like,
there was
Ahura,
no surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like we don't even know where Katy Perry is right now. So like, nobody's checking for this style anymore. And so like, I thought she looked great, but it was like, just not a well-played card.
You're right. You're right.
Like, definitely it was a chirp still.
It was a chirp, but you're right. It was like, oh, do you like this dress? Well, here's the dress I always make, but with a plunger. It was similar. It was reminiscent.
Yeah, I feel that way about like the U.S. girls too. Like, I really like Tina Burner, but I'm like, you got to give us a fashion moment. You just have to give a fashion moment.
Totally, 100%, 100. Yeah, that's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a runway competition.
So true. Okay, so it's finally Sister giving us Garden of Sheedin. When I first saw it, I was like, wow. And then you look at everything and you're like, oh my God, that's too much.
Yeah. It could have been like a Garbage Pail Kids kind of like club kid thing that could have gone really, really well. I think even if like the base fabric had been like a color and not just like a drab, like beige situation, it would have made it, because it's like you can, because like a superhero can be like something that's like weird and like, you know, that could have worked, but it just, it like didn't go far enough and it went too far all at the same time. It's just
totally.
Like,
totally.
Yeah. It's like, totally. If you're going to be like gaudy and like grotesque, then it's got to be like, in every detail. And I think like the blank spaces of the outfit is like what made everything else really fall apart.
Right. When you look at all the silhouettes, it's just like you see some Womana from the other girls and then you're just like Nickelodeon. It's just like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, it was a little Binya, you know what I mean? Little Bella Island.
Yeah. And it's like, and if you're going to go there, then your makeup needs to do that. Your hair needs to do that. Everything needs to be like, it has to look super intentional. So at least you like say like, oh, you just don't get it. But it was like, no, it's like, it just doesn't look intentional. It looks like you went for a swing and you missed.
Truly, truly, truly. Maybe if it was an earlier week, she would have gotten a pass, but we're getting down there. TikTok.
Yeah. And it's like I was saying, it's like at these moments, you have to give a fashion moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Must be sickening.
Must be sickening. We have our untucked. It's or whatever. What their kind of untucked thing is just like chit-chatting in the workroom. Yeah. I love how mean they are to each other. That's all I have to say about that, really. Ahura wins, of course. And then we have our lip sync between Taste and Sister Sister to a Jess Glynn song. What did you think? Did the right gal stay?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Hands down.
It isn't going anywhere.
Hands down. Yeah. I agree. I love Sister Sister, but I have seen... I think it was time.
And it's like, there you have those like moments with girls where it's like, especially, you know, we saw this with Veronica. It's like when all the girls are coming for you, you are either about to shut it down and just like slay the house, or you're about to go home. It's like, yeah. Unfortunately, it was the time. There's a lot of like bullying on this show where like all the girls will decide to come for one girl. Like,
totally.
Yeah, they gang up on each other a lot.
Yeah, it's an interesting cast. And it's interesting how, like, it really does feel different from the first season. You know, there's still some really fun, you know, meanness and gaggery, but it is different. We're going to have a really unique kind of winner. Like, the first season was a little bit more Great British Bake Off. And this one is not. This one is like, no. You suck.
No, but I mean, I'm grateful for a season that isn't a best friend race, but like
always.
Damn.
She said, you're so big. Work. Well, like, okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can we support you? Remind us, tell us all the places we can support you, the Vixen.
One more time. You can Venmo at the Vixen's World. You can Cash App VXN Cash, or you can PayPal.me/TheVixenBitch. You can go to shop.thevixensworld.com to get my merch. If you want to see my dick and my ass and all that good shit, you can go to onlyfans.com/untuckedtony. Also, Twitter for my personal goodies. You can see me on Twitter at Tony Untucked. Took me a second there.
I love it.
And also Twitter, you can find me at The Vixen's World.
I love it. You are such a treasure. You are such a hallmark. You're such an important figure in drag. I can't wait to see your career continue to evolve in everything you do. Thank you for being a voice to a queer audience that only sometimes deserves your attention. Thank you for being so generous with your time and wisdom to every kind of queer. Oh, and do you do cameos? Someone is asking in the questions.
Oh, I just saw. I don't do cameos only because Apple takes like a really big percentage that they should.
Good to know. Yeah. Support us in other ways. If you have any extra coin, you can Venmo or PayPal me at my name, Manu Agapian. You can support us by giving us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and because it helps us make a little bit more coin. And follow us right here on Drag Her Podcast. And you can listen to this episode next week. It'll be on the pod feed. But in the meantime, catch it here on the IG. Well, until next time, and until we see you again, the Vixen, we love you. And bye.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you. Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her. That was a HeadGum Podcast.